Hello and from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, welcome to another edition of RPH's new program, AbleQuest, where we examine assistive technology and related subjects for people living with disabilities. Today we take a look into the complex world of stem cell technology, the phenomenal development in the research, different methods of harvesting stem cells, their application, ethics, and future research. I'm Peter Worthington, and this is AbleQuest. It seems that every week we hear of new ways that stem cell technology can give fresh hope to those disabled through accident or illness. Just recently, on June 6, for example, we learned that Australian scientists at the Centre for Eye Research have proven that damaged eyes can be repaired using sheets of stem cells grown on specifically designed contact lenses. This world-first discovery could pave the way for an effective treatment for painful caustic or thermal burns. But let's step back and begin with some definitions. In layman's terms, stem cells are biological cells found in all multicellular organisms that can divide and change into diverse specialized cell types and can self-renew to produce more stem cells. Stem cells, if you like, are neutral cells awaiting designation to take on another tissue's function. Broadly, there are two main types of stem cells, adult or tissue-specific and embryonic. Adult stem cells act as a repair system for the body, replenishing adult tissues, and are found in the bone marrow of long bones in our bodies. The femur, for example, where billions of new blood cells are made every day from blood-forming stem cells. They can also be harvested from fatty tissue and from the blood. Of all the stem cells, adult stem cells have the best rate of success due to the fact that the body does not reject them. Other tissue-specific stem cells are those derived from the fetus during the baby's development after 10 weeks of gestation, and cord blood stem cells harvested from the umbilical cord at birth. Embryonic stem cell lines, or ES, are cultures of cells derived from very early embryos. Specifically, as defined by Wikipedia, the cells were derived from the epiblast tissue of the inner cell mass of a blastocyst, which is an early stage embryo approximately 4 to 5 days old in humans, and consisting of 50 to 150 cells. ES cells are pluripotent and give rise during development to all derivatives of the three primary germ layers. They can develop into each of the more than 200 cell types of the adult body where given sufficient and necessary stimulation for a specific cell type. Embryonic stem cells have the amazing ability to keep dividing, and large numbers of embryonic stem cells can be grown in the laboratory. They can also be frozen for future use. While ES has great potential for use in future therapies, there are currently no treatments using embryonic stem cells accepted by the medical community. It is important that researchers study both embryonic and tissue-specific stem cells to determine which cell types will be best suited to treat which diseases or body damage. Interestingly, stem cells can today be artificially grown and transformed into specialized cell types through the process of cell culture. We should begin this journey with a look into the history of stem cell research. It began in the mid-1800s, when it was discovered that cells were basically the building blocks of life, and that some cells had the ability to produce other cells. In the early 1960s, Dr. Ernest McCulloch and Dr. James Edgar Till started a series of experiments that involved injecting bone marrow cells into irradiated mice. They observed that small raised lumps grew on the spleens of the mice, in proportion to the number of bone marrow cells injected. Till and McCulloch dubbed the lumps spleen colonies and speculated that each lump arose from a single marrow cell, perhaps a stem cell. In 1968, the first bone marrow transplant was performed to successfully treat two siblings with severe combined immunodeficiency. It wasn't until 1998 that Dr. James Alexander Thompson of the Mortgage Institute and Research in Wisconsin discovered that human embryonic stem cells can divide without limit and yet maintain the potential to make all the cells in the body. So, think about this. Imagine a world where transplants could be performed without the sacrifice of another person losing an organ. Limbs and organs could be created in the laboratory and used in transplants or to cure illnesses. New treatments for a wide range of human diseases, including diabetes, heart disease, some forms of cancer and Parkinson's disease can now be developed with the incredible technology. This research also will ultimately allow the prevention of abnormal human development. Millions of potential drugs and medicines can be treated without the use of an animal. For the first time, scientists have transplanted brain cancer patients' own gene-modified blood stem cells in order to protect their bone marrow against the toxic side effects of chemotherapy. We spoke to Dr. Karen Doyle, who is a senior research officer in the Neural Stem Cell Group at the Garvan Institute in Sydney, and asked a few questions re-stem cell technology and its applications. She was not available for a live interview, so Barbara Sullivan is here with the answers provided by Dr. Doyle. We asked, how are stem cells in humans being used around the world?
Well, stem cells isolated from various adult organs and tissues are being used around the world in cell-based therapies. One very well-known and routinely used stem cell therapy is the use of hematopoietic stem cells for blood-borne diseases such as lymphoma and leukemia. The hematopoietic stem cells come from donor bone marrow in closely matched individuals. Bone marrow stem cells are also being used in clinical trials to treat multiple sclerosis, or MS. Doctors in Britain are launching a clinical trial of stem cell therapy that aims to halt or reverse the damage caused by MS. And a US-based company called ACT has begun clinical trials using human embryonic stem cells, or HESC. The first ACT trial is testing the safety of HESC-derived retinal cells to treat patients with an eye disease called Stargardt's macular dystrophy, or SMD. The second ACT trial is testing the safety of HESC-derived retinal cells to treat patients with age-related macular degeneration. And a third clinical trial using HESC-derived cells was halted on November the 14th last year in 2011. The trial was being conducted by a biotechnology company called Geron, located in Menlo Park, California. Four patients with recent spinal cord injuries had been enrolled for its clinical trial of an HESC-derived therapy. The trial was testing the safety of using HESC-derived cells to achieve restoration of spinal cord function. Oligodendrocyte progenitor cells, derived from HESCs, were being injected directly into the lesion site of the patient's injured spinal cord. So those are just some examples of clinical trials being performed around the world using both adult stem cells, derived from tissues and organs of adults, and embryonic stem cells.
And in Australia?
In Australia, since the 1970s, hematopoietic stem cells derived from bone marrow have been used to treat lymphoma and leukemia. Many thousands of these transplants are performed routinely each year across the country. A regenerative medicine company in Australia called Mesoblast has approval to perform clinical trials using adult-derived mesenchymal precursor cells for the treatment of congestive heart failure, heart attacks, spinal fusion, and bone marrow regeneration. These stem cells replace and initiate the production of other cells that are missing or damaged due to disease or injury.
So are you very excited about this technology and its applications?
Oh, yes. This technology has enormous potential to treat diseases and injuries using cell-based therapies. In many instances, some degenerative diseases and injuries have no other known treatments. Some examples are neurodegenerative diseases, which are caused by the loss of nerve cells. Stem cells have great potential in replacing these lost nerve cells. I think that research into stem cell-based treatments should forge full steam ahead, especially when we realise that there is hope for treating diseases that currently have no other known form of treatment.
What area of stem cell research are you working on?
I work on neural stem cells that are derived from the adult nose, called olfactory stem cells. Evolution has dictated that because the nerve cells in our nose are exposed to the environment, they're replaced throughout life by a pool of neural stem cells. We are able to isolate these neural stem cells and perform experiments. Some of the experiments we've performed are to test whether the olfactory stem cells can grow into other kinds of nerve cells. We've been able to show that they grow into hair cells, lost during deafness, as well as nerve cells that are lost in Parkinson's and Alzheimer's disease. This is very exciting, as these adult neural stem cells can be easily biopsied and can be used in autologous transplants. The potential in this area of research is enormous.
Does the Australian government fund stem cell research?
The Australian government funded the formation of the Australian Stem Cell Centre, which ceased its operation in June 2011. But in November 2010, a special research initiative in stem cell science was funded to the tune of $21 million. This consortium of Australian researchers is known as Stem Cells Australia. Competitive grants for stem cell research can be applied for through the National Health and Medical Research Council. However, the NHMRC does not have stem cell research as one of its priority areas of research.
In your professional opinion, what is the future of stem cells with regard to eradicating or arresting genetic diseases, cancers and other diseases?
As I've said, stem cell research has great potential as a cell-based therapy. Researchers in Australia and around the world are performing experiments using embryonic and adult stem cells. Induced pluripotent stem cells, or iPSCs, have also been produced by genetically manipulating adult cells. These stem cells ideally have the same characteristics as embryonic stem cells, and research is progressing to show that this is the case. iPSCs can be derived from individuals with rare genetic diseases and cancers, so that the basis of these diseases can be analysed. And pharmaceuticals can also be tested using these stem cells. However, a word of caution should be noted. There are quite a few stem cell companies operating worldwide that are promising a great deal in the treatment of disease and injuries. Individuals thinking about these options should be very careful and do their research before believing that these companies can offer them cures. For example, one of Europe's largest stem cell clinics was shut down last year following the death of a child in its care. The Daily Telegraph in the UK reported on this, and you can find out more at www.telegraph.co.uk. So, while I advise caution, I also acknowledge that further research is necessary so that stem cell-based therapies can be applied with safety and success in the future. They have enormous potential in medical science.
Those comments in this reconstructed interview were provided by Dr. Karen Doyle, a senior research officer in the Neural Stem Cell Group at the Garvan Institute in Sydney. Next time, we will discuss specific applications of stem cell technology and how it will benefit us in the future. You have been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. I'm Peter Worthington. Thank you for listening, and goodbye till next time.